Well, friends, Paul is speaking here about true wisdom when he quotes the famous verse, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." That's in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. And he is comparing true wisdom, the wisdom from heaven revealed in Jesus Christ, with the wisdom of the wisest men of humanity. As Paul so often does, he quotes from the scriptures to prove the point he's making. So here he is quoting from Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. But he quotes from the Greek version called the Septuagint, which, when you compare it with our English Standard Version, is slightly different. In the Isaiah passage, the prophet is speaking about the unexpected and awesome things that God had done for Israel, things which made the mountains quake and the nations of the world tremble. Isaiah is referring to the drama of Israel's deliverance from Egypt and their great salvation. Isaiah says that from of old, no one had heard the like before, or in fact, no one could have even imagined such a deliverance and salvation. He's talking of the historical events of God's secret purposes and the plan he has for his people in the world. Isaiah is reminding Israel of what God had done in the past and of what God has planned for the future. Similar, great and awesome events of blessing. So Paul picks up on this point, which Isaiah makes, and reminds the Corinthian believers of it. And he says, just as the old world did not expect such deliverances and salvation for such an insignificant nation as Israel, so today none of the rulers of this age, nor the wisdom of the wise men of this age, understood the significance of the coming of Christ and the deliverance and salvation which he has brought to Jew and Gentile. For if they had, Paul says, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. That's in verse 8 of this chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul had come to Corinth preaching nothing but Christ crucified, and how Christ's resurrection and its ramifications challenged the wisdom and future hope of the whole world. The Greeks, like every other person who is without the Spirit of God, are not able to understand the wisdom or mercy or love of God in Christ. For the whole thing is foolishness to him. That's in verse 14 of this chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. So Paul is saying this, just as no one could have imagined many of the great and awesome things that have already happened to Israel, so no one can imagine what God has prepared for the whole world of Jews and Greeks who love him, for those who love him. Paul is bringing in this important element of knowing and loving the only true and living God of the Jews. Jews and Greeks who love God through Christ, of course, great and awesome things are in store for them all. And all because of Jesus Christ. His resurrection, that very contentious point among the intellectuals, has demonstrated and manifested God's power and has released the gospel of eternal salvation to all men. Paul, in combating the wisdom of the Greek world, shows what true wisdom consists of. It believes in an eternal dimension to life, which concerns man's destiny, where is mankind heading for, and what are the purposes of life? What's the end of life? Paul tells him that the wisdom and philosophy of this world, a world without God, is doomed to pass away. Verse 6. The ideologies of the wisdom of men will pass away. They are not founded on Christ's wisdom in Christ. in God's wisdom in Christ, but in man's wisdom without Christ. God and his word reveal hidden and secret things, things which mankind would never have discovered, subjects which are vital and important to us. Paul explains in this chapter 2 that it is only by the Spirit of God that we can learn and understand this wisdom of Jesus Christ. In the next chapters, Paul goes on to speak to the Corinthians of these subjects that are vitally important for us, for our well-being, and of which we will not hear of from the world. They don't know anything about them. And when they do hear them, they disbelieve them. For instance, Paul speaks of a fire of judgment that will test every man's life and work, something which the wisdom of this world knows nothing about. Paul continues and tells of rewards and punishments for everyone, speaks of true justice and true righteousness, where it's to be found and what it is. The kindness and love of God is manifest in revealing to us in Holy Scripture the realities and experiences which lie ahead for each of us, hardly ever discussed anywhere else, not even in the echelons of high society and intellectual institutions. Even at a funeral, when such subjects and contemplations are appropriate, with sensitive and compassionate understanding, of course. And so Paul teaches us about true wisdom and its focus on our destiny, which is the subject, as we've said, that the wise of this world avoid speaking about and talking about as much as possible. But Paul's teaching of wisdom is all done in the crucible of love and justice. Not just love, on which many philosophers reverberate and love talking about, but also on the essential subject of justice. God is a God of justice as well as of love and mercy. Wickedness must be punished in order for righteousness to be righteousness and for God to be just. At the cross of Christ, we see justice being done as well as love and mercy being displayed. The cross was a place of confusion, bewilderment, awe, belief and unbelief. Even for God's dear people, they were confused. They couldn't understand it. At the cross of Christ, it was a place unimaginable to the human mind. No one imagined such a thing as a Messiah dying. But Paul tells the Corinthians that it's only by the Spirit of God that such things can be comprehended. And of course, it is only the triune God who could conceive of such a way of salvation and mercy toward unworthy, undeserving sinners. No man could conceive of such a scheme as the scheme that God has prepared in Christ. Indeed, no eye, no ear, no mind could conceive of such magnitude of love and justice merging together in complete harmony. And so may you and I, in contemplating the new year, be able to draw from Calvary's cross hope and joy for ourselves and for our loved ones, knowing that for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart of man can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.